Hi, everyone, and welcome. I'm Kim Beegler, the owner of Youthful Fiber Farm and Mill, and I'm sitting at home this week in Halsey, Oregon. No, Harrisburg, Oregon. Where am I? Where do I live? The mill is in Halsey. If you are new, welcome. I talk a lot about wool, hand spinning, owning a fiber mill, farm life. And if you're returning, you know all that. So welcome back. Welcome back. I'm not very centered, am I? It's kind of late in the day. Usually I do this earlier, but I'm home today. So we're making it happen. And I've been working on... Okay, so this episode. This week we're talking about... I've got some videos from inside the wool mill. Carding videos. I have a little bit of a farm story to share with you with a bit of a video. And I'm going to talk about the Fantasia Kromsky spinning wheel that I got a couple weeks ago. I'm going to walk you through just kind of little bits through unboxing it, staining it, putting it together, and then show you her spinning. Because, just a reminder, and for those of you that are new, for a limited time, if you buy a new spinning wheel from Revolution Fibers, you get my online course for beginners to learn to hand spin for free. So that's pretty awesome. They are doing this great deal. And anyway, I wanted to be able to test out one of these Kromskys, and this is kind of the base level of the Kromsky wheel, the Fantasia. And I wanted to be able to test it out so that I could say that I like it or not, right? So that I could recommend it. So I do recommend it. In fact, I sat at it for the first time just a few hours ago and was like, get up and do other things. Here comes my cat. Okay, so that's what's happening. So let's just start off with mill videos. We're going to start with mill videos. Why not? And just so if you're wondering, I am wearing the, what is it? The Sheltered Poncho by Andrea Maurer. It's a pattern from like a ways back before she was big, but not like as big. And it's got a hood. I've worn it before, but it's got the hood. And anyway, okay. I'll put it in the show notes. So mill videos. So what do I have? I have got some videos of me processing out. Oh, this was a fun. I did like a tonal. This was a Romney lamb fleece. I did a tonal blue. And you get to see kind of how I ran it through the colors. It's all gone. I'm sorry. It's all gone. It did make it to the newsletter because I had a limit of one because I was trying to like share the wealth when it was only one little fleece. So everybody was really kind that grabbed one and only grabbed one. And so it made a little bit farther. And yay. So that's exciting, but it is gone. And then there is another video of me doing some Shetland and silk blend, which in my Patreon group, we were just recently talking. I was in Patreon about how this is one a couple people's favorites blends to spin. And this is from my Shetland that's only 6 months shearing. So it's a shorter Shetland with silk and it turned out really lovely. So I figured I'd share those videos with you because it's always fun to see carding videos. And also throw out a reminder that I do have a Patreon group. So if you want first dibs at Fibers, among other things, there's also Q&As and there's Zoom meetups. And you can get fiber depending on which level you go. So anyway, there's a link in the bio to my Patreon community. But they generally can get all the fibers at this point. So that's if you are having a hard time getting some, jump in there. Okay, so let's go to the mill. Let's watch a few videos. They all have audio this time. I'm very nervous. And then we'll get back and we'll talk. I'll share a little farm story with you. Circle of Life farm story. It's cute in the end. It is cute in the end. And then we'll talk about that Fantasia spinning wheel. Okay, I'll see you in a minute. All right, you all, we are running this 100%. I'm gonna start this up and not mess up the audio again. I am here, I promise. Just behind you, weighing out fiber. So this is 100% Rommeldale. I've got Rommeldale on the brain. Romney wool that I dyed obviously in lock formation, dyed it in the wool, and now we're carding up. And I did three. This is all the same color, it's just different saturation levels. So this is the darkest one, lightest one, and then there's a middle one. So it's just gonna run through. It's gonna be very subtle and beautiful. This is inspired by one of the tops that I was just recently, make sure I've got my end good over the other side. Inspired by one of the just tonal
tops that I was spinning up. And it was so gorgeous. And I thought, wait a minute, you know what? I can do that. I can do that all day long, as long as I can get my dye studio. So this is only one fleece. Like I said, it's a Romney. It's a lamb fleece. And there's a good chance by the time this airs, it will be gone. But it's still a joy. And I'm going to try to work on doing more of these in different colors, because I know everybody loves color, including me. And yeah, I got to make sure my dog doesn't run out the door, that I've got cracked a little bit for Wish. Okay, let's go see it coming out. Speaking of, you can see Nigel just napping away. Wish is outside. Nigel already had a big day. So this is going to show up. The color's a little off, but lighting was better on the other side. But there it is. And it's just going to run through. See it in there. There's Wish. It's just going to run through being lighter and darker versus just because of the saturation of how I dyed it. So lovely, lovely. All right. I'll do more. I promise. Right, you all, I'm so sorry. I don't know where my microphone is, but I wanted to show you the end of this. So this is some Shetland and Silk. And this is my two darker Shetlands, Taraji and Drilla, blended up with some of the natural colored Silk, which has kind of a tan color to it. So we are, get this guy going. Actually, I want to, we'll get it going. I don't really have too much to say about this. I've done this before, and hopefully there'll be enough that this lasts for a little bit. I blended about, there's about 3 pounds of wool. So, and then it gets silk added in. So let's go ahead and stir her up. This is kind of the very end. So there is some wool coming out the other end. So we'll take a peek in here. And Taraji has this very deep, sorry you all, I'm stuck on things, gray fleece. Drilla is a bit darker, but she has lightened up over the years. And then let's go, you can see I'm watching Matlock in the background. Here it comes. And this is from their a 6 month shearing. So it's not gonna be that super long fiber that just came off of them. It's so pretty, and that silk just adds a nice halo and an extra soft touch to it. Neither of these girls are the softest, but they are beautiful, and with that silk, it changes it up a bit. All right, there you go.
All right, those were pretty fun videos. That blue, it would have been fun just to spin that whole thing up, but alas, it is gone, which is a good thing. Okay, so let's talk about the farm for a minute, because if you're new, I've got an old McDonald farm. I started with some Shetlands. Is that what I started? Well, I started with chickens. We've got a lot of those. I got a couple Shetlands, got a few more Shetlands, and then slowly people figured out that I would take animals if they were in need of a home desperately. So we kind of now, my original thing was like, I want to have animals that produce something, and now they all produce poop. So there you go. Anyway, so I got home from mill day last week and went to take a quick snapshot of a dress I was wearing so I could promote the company. And I walked out and there were vultures in our top of our pasture, and I was like, no. So I knew pretty much immediately what that meant. It meant something went down, and most likely a chicken. And the chickens have been wandering. So this is one of it's the downfall and its quality of life of pasture raised chickens, is that they are much more predators can get them, right? They're out in the middle sometime, and we have a lot of predator birds this time of year, especially because, and I thought this was something that a lot of people wouldn't know, around us, we are surrounded by a lot of commercial sheep. So they're being grown for meat, and they are out on the grass fields during the winter, keeping the grass low, eating great food, and living a dream of a life. So occasionally those go down. And the predator birds will take care of that, right? So circle of life, when something goes down out there, it does not take long for there to be a line of predator birds to clean up the mess. So that's how it goes. Now we're in springtime and the sheep get moved because the fields have to be fertilized and the grass gets to grow so long, it actually becomes dangerous for the sheep to be out there because predators such as coyotes, when the grass gets really long, because it can get to 4 or 5 feet tall, coyotes can get in there and sneak around and nobody sees them. The sheep don't know they're there. They're just kind of, it's a very sneaky way for them to get in and be able to take sheep down quickly. So there's multiple reasons to move them off, but the main reason is we farm the grass fields, and so we need the sheep off and the grass gets really tall. So what happens is this time of year, everybody's fertilizing, the sheep all get moved off. Either they're going to be processed or they get moved to different pieces of property that are not grass seed fields. And then all of a sudden the predator birds are like, wait, we're still hungry, but now our food's missing. And coupled with the fact that the grass is getting so tall, the grass is probably at least 2 feet now in most fields. And the predator birds can't see underneath. The grass is so thick that they can't see mice and other things running around. So all of a sudden the sheep are gone. They can't see all the little rodents and things like that. So chickens and the like become more of a delicacy to them. And our chickens lately especially have gotten very comfortable and they're up in the pasture and I'm driving away thinking, oh, you're very exposed. And we do have dogs that have turned out to be great at fending off predator birds, but on this very day we had a section fenced so that the sheep could mow, and that meant the dogs couldn't get to where this happened or even close. So bird went down, vultures came in to clean up. We figured an eagle or a hawk took the chicken down. And then the vultures come in after to do that, to finish it up. So anyway, then my neighbor texts and she says, oh, I meant to text you. I was going to text you later to say when I went to get the mail, there was a bald eagle doing its thing. So a bald eagle will just fly down. It's pretty instant. They just land on whatever their prey is and that kills them. That alone will kill them. And she said the bald eagle was doing its thing, but Cuddlebug, the goat, was headbutting the bald eagle while it was doing its thing. And the alpaca were circled around Cuddlebug while the bald eagle was doing its thing. And she said the eagle really didn't seem very bothered by Cuddlebug. And I was like, so interesting, right? I mean, I know in our heart of hearts, we as humans want to believe that Cuddlebug was protecting the chicken. And Cuddlebug, I think, would protect some things. I'm not sure if chickens are high on this list, but he does share his pasture with all of these creatures. The alpaca, he definitely is very attached to. I would think of it more as he was like, what the heck, big bird? Get out of my pasture. What are you doing here? That seems my most likely. It could, and the alpaca and Cuddlebug are quite bonded. So the fact that they were circled around Cuddlebug while this was happening, it's just adorable is what it is, kind of. But, and I'm like, Cuddlebug. Oh, and I'm sure, I mean, I have a video of Cuddlebug being Cuddlebug. Cuddlebug is basically an annoyance when he headbutts. So he's not, I mean, I don't know. He could have been being more forceful with the bird because he didn't know it and it's a large bird. And he wanted it out. Did not seem to work. But at any rate, when I got home, there was nobody around. There was just 4 vultures doing their work. So I know that's kind of a circle of life extra story, but it ended kind of cute, right? So I'm going to share with you this video that I got of Cuddlebug so you can see him headbutting and how the eagle might have just been like, okay, thank you. So I'm going to share that right now and then I'll be back and we'll talk a bit about the Fantasia wheel. Okay.
Cuddlebug misbehaving. She does not want to be touched. You can see he's being very gentle to her. They have a new relationship that I don't really understand, but she tolerates it. She's the she's It's like, I don't want to be touched, and he just can't help it. It's very sweet, even though she does not like it at all.
Oh, Cuddlebug. He is such a character. He is Mitch's favorite animal on the farm. I'd say it's Cuddlebug and then the pigs. But he's just a character. So we're happy he's here. And, you know, what can you do? What can you do? They live a good life. And so it was quick for that hen. RIP, we say. And thank you for your work. Okay, the Fantasia wheel. I'm not going to talk a ton about it right now. I'll let you watch the videos because there's a fair amount of videos. You can always be done here if you want or skip to the end, to the goodbyes. But I am really happy with this wheel. As I said, I got to finally sit at it today and I was like, ooh, I mean, I sat and I went and I was able to spin pretty thin yarn on this wheel right off the bat. Now, if you're a beginner, you're going to spin thicker yarn and it's got some options for that, which I talk about. But all in all, I think this is a great wheel. I really wanted to test it because it's one of the lower end Kromskys. It's a lower end on the brand new spinning wheel spectrum. I think it starts around 650. So still, I know, still. But it's kind of comparable price-wise with a Kiwi. If you were thinking about an Ashford Kiwi, which is what my first wheel was, this is kind of a comparable option to that. I talk about a lot about it in it. Basically, I'd say the two things you need that it doesn't include, if you're, no matter which one you order, you're going to need a Phillips screwdriver, kind of a standard size, and then a mini Phillips screwdriver because some of the screws are pretty tiny, but there's not very many. I mean, you need that like four times, and I'd say it took me about an hour to get through. No big deal. The staining did not take long at all. I mean, it was an extra step because I have the unfinished wheel. But if you get it finished, then you can just unbox and go and you're spinning in an hour. So that's pretty awesome. Again, I'm going to remind you that if you order a new spinning wheel from Revolution Fibers, which they do have the Kromsky Fantasia, you get my online course for free right now for a limited time. So that's $147 savings if you want to look at it that way, which you could put and kind of notch off of your price in your head, sort of. It's a beautiful wheel. It spins really well. And I mentioned it in the videos. The only thing, which it's exactly the same on the Kiwi. So, but the wheel on the unfinished is more of a pressed wood, like a pressed particle board, than grained wood. And so it's going to stain differently, but that's okay. I mean, it has nothing to do with the wheel. It's just how they are able to have the price a little bit lower on the wheel and as it's unfinished. So it's just something to know if you get it unfinished, do some practice spots or whatever. You can also paint it. I mean, you can do whatever with the wheel. So anyway, let's go watch some videos. I kind of walk through unboxing it just quickly. And then the last video, I think, is the longest where I actually get to and just kind of talk about the things about it that I like. So I will see you on the other side. And I think we'll call it quits for this week because I could go on and on and on, but I try to keep these shorter. So see you in a few minutes.
All right. So I have started unboxing the Fantasia. This is the Kromsky Fantasia from Revolution Fibers. I got it from. And for those of you that haven't heard, I am doing a collaboration with them where if you order a spinning wheel from them, you get my Let's Make Yarn online course for beginners to learn to hand spin on a wheel. You get it for free. So anyway, I wanted to give this wheel a try and they were kind enough to send me one to try out. So we're going to do that. And this one is unfinished, so I'm going to unbox it all and then start doing the staining on it, which I just wanted you all to see is not super daunting. I did it on my Ashford Kiwi and it was actually much less of a project than I thought it was going to be. So here's a picture of what it looks like when it's finished. Here is the wheel out and I'm going to go through and unpack. There's not too many parts and honestly, it's not... there's not so much wood, so it won't take too long to stain it. So anyway, here we are. I'm going to unbox and then we'll come back when I get some stain going. Okay. All right, everybody. So I am here in my studio, ready to start this. I ended up getting a stain that is a little bit, that is very light. It's like a notch darker than the wood. And that is basically because this wheel isn't going to remain with me. And it was going to take a lot to get the dark that I wanted. Like, it was going to take a couple coats. And I don't have that kind of time, I'll be honest. So I just am doing this with a brush because I just found it's easier. And then I'll probably use just a cotton old shirt to wipe it off if needed. When I did this before on my last wheel, I honestly didn't even need to do a lot of wiping because with the brush, you can control it pretty well. But you just go with the grain of the wood. And you can, if you want, just wipe off the excess. Pretty easy. And it'll take some drying time, obviously, but it's really not that difficult to do this. Now, obviously, it's kind of a stinky job. And so if you don't have a space to do this, then buying the stained is definitely going to be, or you can't stand the smell, or you just don't have the patience, then definitely buy one that's already stained. But this just gives you some extra room on cost, right? And because it's not paint, you know, you can always go back and do a second coat if you want, but I'm just gonna run through everything, let it dry for a day or so, and then stick this all together. And I like this. I actually do really like this. This is the golden pecan color. And it, like I said, it was just like a notch, and it's basically just gonna kind of coat over. So we're gonna do that. And then let her dry. So I'm just taking excess off. Okay, that's all there is to that. I'm going to keep on working, and I will certainly, as I go to start putting things together, I will show you guys how it turns out. But I just wanted you to see, it's really not, and there's not that many pieces. There's this and then the wheel itself. So, and if you end up with this wheel ever in your life, you'll know, because there'll be this one spot that underneath of the treadles that has dark. So maybe it'll be yours one day. Who knows? That's where to look. Okay. Carrying on, I will see you guys when I'm putting this together. All right, you all. I'm sitting at a very odd angle, but she is all put together. And it took me maybe an hour to put it together. Not bad. Not bad. There's Elsie May keeping an eye. I haven't stained the bobbins yet. I'm going to stain the bobbins so that whoever gets this wheel, the bobbins are the same color as the main part of the wheel here, as the stand. And she's great. I'm not going to lie. I just did a little treadling. And holy cow, super. I haven't even put oil on. And it's like super smooth. Super smooth. And the only part I wanted to show that it doesn't talk about, and I thought if you were new to spinning, you would have no idea how to adjust this. It doesn't really talk about it. But when you're doing your Scotch tension, you basically, like I have it set up so that you can see I kind of have it knotted here, and I just have like one little bit here that's not knotted, because the idea is you want it nice and loose, and then you can tighten it. So by turning this, and you'll see that adds on the spring stretches. So you don't need to have, there's a lot of extra here that I'll cut off. You don't need a lot of tension. You know, you don't need this whole piece of string to be wrapped and wrapped and wrapped. You can just trim it. As long as you have enough that this can go completely slack, then you're going to be fine, because you're going to tighten from that slack point. So that was the only spot that it didn't really give directions. But otherwise, so far, she's great. I'm going to take her inside and we'll do a little test spin and see. But she really is so smooth. Oh my goodness. Okay. Okay, everyone. So we are here.
The wheel is in the house. I am getting ready to put a leader on it, and I thought I'd show you that what I do is I always just take some old hand spun. But if this is your first wheel, you're going to need to just grab some yarn. I would avoid superwash. I would use 100% wool because it's going to have a better grip to it. I always use just ends, like those ends that you have on your bobbins. But I make an end. If you're using yarn, then you would just fold it in half so that you can have a nice loop. And then I just, this makes it so you don't need, so I take my loop and I just pull my yarn through. And then I go backwards against that one and make another loop. So you don't need tape or anything when you do it this way. It will hold in place nicely. So I'm just gonna get this little wheel going. It does come, it comes with an orifice hook. And so you're set up there. The only thing you really needed beyond what they sent you was a screwdriver, like a basic Phillips, and then a tiny Phillips. Those two things it didn't come with. And there is a spot to hang. There's just a little hook. I do love, and I'll show you, that this wheel has just a little handle on the back, so you can pick it up and carry it around easily. I love that. Something else, which I'll show you. I don't know if you'll get the full gist of it, but this, the flyer just pops off and then it magnetizes back into place. So easy to switch your bobbins. Just pop that off, switch your bobbin, you're back in place. And I think we're pretty ready to go. Otherwise, we'll see what my tension is. I'm just gonna be spinning, I think it's Shetland. I don't know, I just pulled it out of a batch of fiber I have. So let's see how she does, shall we? And I haven't adjusted. Actually, I didn't put any oil on her, which is mean. But look at that. Our first yarns. And let me get some oil because I can hear. You can kind of hear that sound. That's just because she is like, why are you not oiling me? But she spins like butter, that is for sure. That is a nice spin. And I have it one there. This does have drive band sizes here. So we can adjust our whirls here. So you can spin a thicker or thinner yarn. It helps with spinning that as far as how fast the twist is going in. I have it on the smaller one. Beginners, I would say start on the bigger whirl because that's going to put twist in a little slower and make it less intimidating for you. All in all, it's a great wheel. I'm going to go grab some oil and then we'll spin for another minute. Okay, we've got some oil. It does come with oil. I left it in the bag so that there's plenty for the next person that has it. But it did say on the directions that places to oil on this wheel are basically on your bobbin spindle ends. You're going to put some oil. And on your footman, you can put a drop of oil here and there as needed. And underneath your treadle, I'm not going to pick it up, but there are the hinges at the foot treadles that you can also add some oil to. And I think that is a very forgotten spot. So here we go. Hopefully you can see. And don't forget, if you buy a new wheel from Revolution Fibers, you get my class, my online spinning course, Let's Make Yarn, for free. I'll have a link in the show notes to get to that offer. But it's a great offer because that's like $147 off of a wheel. So if you're on a budget, this wheel is fantastic. I mean, it's spinning beautifully. You basically can just sit down and spin. It took me about an hour to assemble, no big deal. And if you were debating from buying unfinished or not, then, you know, that is basically the difference of my free class. So if you get the free class, you can upgrade to the finished and just put it together and you're off and running, but it's spinning really beautifully. I'll let you see my finished yarn here. Perfection. So anyway, it's a great wheel. I'm excited to have a little bit of fun with it before we find her a new home. Okay, see, this is what happens. Now, 2 hours from now, I'll just be sitting here spinning. Okay,
I'm gonna stop.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed. If you're thinking about a new wheel, or you're just like, if you haven't bought a new wheel before, or you're thinking about learning to hand spin, it's a great wheel. And I think you'll be able to spin on this wheel for a very long time. I have many wheels. There are lots of hand spinners out there that only have one or two wheels. It just depends on where you're at and what you want, how much you're gonna spin. So anyway, wonderful wheel. Don't forget that it's a limited time offer to get the course when you buy a wheel from Revolution Fibers. And there will be a link in the show notes to that kind of special offer page to make that happen. So I think that's it. I've got to get my dogs out. Everybody's getting a little wild. So I'm going to get them out before it gets dark. And I've got to go pick up. I'm lucky enough to have a subscription for flowers from my mother-in-law. So I got to go pick those up for this week from my neighbor who's a flower farmer. Lucky me. Okay. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you learned something new or just enjoyed making while you're watching this. So thank you so much for spending time with me. Until next week, stay healthy. Be kind to everybody around you as best as you possibly can and make so many pretty things. I will see you very soon. And don't forget to hit the subscribe button if you like what I'm doing. Okay, have a good week, everyone.